Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin M, Music, with guest Brian Murdaugh, episode 42.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Dee.
And Tom, Deacon Tom.
And we're broadcasting on the road again.
From Missouri. Smile when you say that. No, that's Texas.
Ozark, Missouri, to be exact.
Yeah. Well, here we are in the Midwest, and I don't think I call this misery. I think I call this misery.
Oh, it is miserably humid.
Oh, my goodness. We are not used to this at all. After 9 years in Colorado and a couple years in Arizona, wow. We really feel humidity, don't we?
We do. We like staying inside with the air conditioning on.
Yeah. While we're visiting our daughter and her family, and we've had some good times with them, we went to a ball game last night and watched Holden. How old is Holden?
Seven.
Seven. We watched seven-year-old Holden make an awesome, awesome shortstop catch.
Oh, yeah.
Of a fly ball. It was really hit hard and fast, and he jumped up in the air and caught it.
That was exciting.
Yeah, a lot of excitement among the parents who saw it. So he's a great athlete, and we've enjoyed being with him. And
he does. He excels in every sport that he's played in. He just seems to have a natural sporting ability. And they're all out of the house right now, so that's why we're broadcasting, because it's nice and quiet.
It is quiet here, and that would not be an adjective or a word that we would use under normal circumstances.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a noisy house. Oh, my heavens. But we're here, we're enjoying it, and we're getting ready tomorrow to take off and head towards Ohio, where I'll be, God willing, dropped off at Steubenville, Franciscan University.
As we drive through, I'm going to open the door and let you jump out.
Oh, wow. I have to check into a dorm room, just like
isn't that exciting?
College days. Yeah, yeah. So...
Well, that's okay. I'm going to continue on to Pennsylvania, and I'm going to spend the week with my mom, and I'll be sleeping on her futon in the living room. So I won't be any more comfortable than you are.
Right. One thing I do like about the dining facilities at Franciscan University, if anybody is going to any of their conferences this summer, if you choose a meal plan, you get to eat in their dining room, and they have about four or five or six different food stations. So there's a hot plate line, there's a hamburger and sandwich line, there's a stir fry line, there's a salad and fruit bar line. So I don't go hungry when I'm at Franciscan.
And I've had the opportunity of having a meal or two there with you over the years, and the food is good.
Yep, it is. Well, dear, our show today is about music. And you said, as we were talking about things to mention, what do we have for music on
our iPods?
iPods. What do you have?
Well, you probably don't want to hear some of the stuff I have.
Well, I don't listen to it. Doesn't matter what.
Well, I have some spiritual music.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley's gospel album.
Oh, my heavens.
No, I also had some recordings from a friend from our church back in Arizona that she has recorded some music, and she loaned us or gave us a CD one time, and I downloaded some of those songs that she did on my iPod, and I have good quality music. I've got Rene Bondi on there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Michael Bublé.
Okay.
And I have a lot of smooth jazz.
I have smooth jazz on mine. That would be one in the non-religious area that I would mention that I enjoy listening to from time to time. But I do have a lot of praise and worship music. And today we're going to be talking about music with whom?
Brian Murdaugh.
And I'm so joyed to have him on our show But it's kind of a special honor because he's let us know that he's been with us as a listener for quite a while.
He did. He actually, I think, did a correct guess of one of our vitamins way back when, and we had to send him a prize, didn't we?
Yeah. So thank you, Michael, for Brian, excuse me, for joining us. Thank you, Michael Bublé. I don't know where they're... And Michael W. Smith, right? I've got some of his music. Thank you, Brian, for joining us. And I think, are we about wrapped up on the update? Well, that's where we are, and we're staying inside as long as we can because it is cool in here, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Behind the walls, walls as thick as we can build, we hide from the truth, we hide it because we're afraid. We seek out shelter in tunnels deep in the mountain. But up on the mountain is where we should be. You are the castle, you are the key. Can't fight without you. Help us to see the mightiest of kings will fall down. It's your victory. We run, run from the city. The runaway, running fear. Though you said you'd always be right here, your might isn't mine. Your love never ends. And all will know, all will see, until you come again. You are the castle, you are the key. We can't fight without you. Help us.
That music you're listening to has come from Brian Murdaugh's new album, 29, and that cut is You Are the Castle. So how does music move you? What sort of music do you like? Most people don't realize or think about the vast impact music has on our lives. Music creates changes in metabolism, circulation, blood volume, and pressure. It even changes our moods. So today we turn to an architect of music to help lift minds and hearts to the Lord. And we'll be back with our guest, Brian Murdaugh.
It's your victory.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is a delightful gentleman that I have wanted to talk to for the longest while. His name is Brian Murdaugh, And many of you probably know him for his music and perhaps from his web work and testimonial. Brian, it's good to have you on the show.
It's fantastic to be on the show, Deacon Tom. I'm an avid listener, and I'm real happy to be here.
Really? You know, I think some time ago, you surprised us when you sent us, I can't remember whether it was an email or what it was, that said that you had stopped someplace, maybe it was to make a call, and that you had been listening to us. You really surprised us. We're honored. Thank you so much for listening.
Oh, you're very welcome. You guys, thank you guys for your ministry. It's been fantastic for me.
Oh, great. Great. Well, you know how this works. We're heard in a lot of places, and some people may say his name sounds familiar, but I don't really know anything about him. So let's start at the beginning. Why don't you tell us about your family and your youth and what your growing up years were like?
Sure. Well, I was born in a pretty Catholic family. My mom was a cradle Catholic, and my dad was actually a born-again Christian. And then the entire family sort of reverted back to Catholicism just in time for my first Holy Communion and the catechesis that led up to that. We were all, me and my siblings were all baptized Catholic, but then we sort of fell out of it because it was just not a comfortable thing with the family. And then finally we were convicted, and my mom was convicted enough to bring us all back to the Catholic faith in time for my first communion and my sister, who's just a little bit younger than me, and I have a much younger sister. So actually by the time I had received confirmation, dad had been through, RCIA and joined, the fullness of the faith at the same time that I did, through confirmation. So, that was sort of the, how early formation went. My parents actually both ran the children's choir at our parish. And of course, because, myself and my sisters were all musicians, we got, you know, sort of roped in at differing stages of willingness to be a part of that. And they called us the Von Murdaughs, and we were just a very musical family. My sisters are still both active musicians. My one sister runs a children's choir up in Maryland, and my other sister is an opera singer in New York City.
Wow, wow. Would we be able to find their work anyplace, or do they ever join you on any of your projects?
Very limitedly, I guess because of geography. Hopefully that will be changing soon because the internet is making the world such a smaller place. But my opera singing sister actually has a website some point. I'm sure I could find the link. My other sister prefers to stay sort of in the back. You know, she stands in front of the children, sort of a cognitive dissonance that there are people looking at her from behind while she's directing the children's choir. But I think she'd rather stay out of the limelight.
Okay. All right. So you've kind of described the faith journey in the early years. Was there any period of time when you had something significant that happened positively or a dry spell in your faith walk?
Sure. And I think, you know, almost every day I have a little dry spell when I, you know, when I doubt or when I say, oh, you know what, I didn't bring that up in prayer like I should have. But I think high school was a particularly dry period for me, especially because I was so involved. So externally, it looked like I was a very involved Catholic young man, but I think that it was very much going through the motions. And I really liked the information and sort of the history of the church, but I never really, I guess I knew, as they say a lot in youth ministry, I guess I knew a lot about my faith, but I didn't really know God. I didn't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of what brought me back to really having an active faith life, not just being involved in the parish, was that I started dating my now wife just before I began college. And she started asking questions because she was Lutheran. And when I didn't know a lot of the answers to sort of not the head knowledge, but more of the heart and the whys and why, you know, why we do things in Catholicism, I started really saying, wow, I'm not as good as I thought I was. So that really challenged me to become, you know, more involved with my faith and not just involved with sort of the motions that happen in the faith. So that kind of brought me back. And then as I went through college, I got more and more and more involved every year.
So as a sidebar, did your wife go through RCIA?
Actually, it's funny. We got married And then on our first anniversary, she joined the Fullness of the Faith. That was, she went through RCIA pretty much the through the first year of our marriage. And that was another big, like, that was a big monumental step for me, is sitting as her sponsor. I went to every class with her and sitting through that and saying, wow, there's so much depth here that I just didn't get when I was learning this for the first time as an 11 or 12 year old or whatever it was.
What I'm about to share with you isn't exactly an unusual story, but maybe share it with your wife, because there's something that I relate to from what you've just shared. I'm trying to line up a guest. It's a lady that I married not too terribly long ago. She and her husband are good friends now, but she was a Lutheran. And when she was deciding that she probably wanted to marry the gentleman that she wound up marrying, she decided to go to RCIA, not at all to become a Catholic, but so that she would understand and be able to converse with him. And when she went to church with him, that she would not feel awkward or strange, but she had no intention at all of becoming a Catholic. And that lasted for about 6 months into RCIA, and then she came into the Fullness of the Church.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And that, yeah, you're right. That is a common story. And I love to hear it, because it's a witness to how the truth can really say, this is what I've been missing, or, you know, just it convicts people. And I think it's a beautiful movement of the Holy Spirit.
Just to complete the picture, you have said that you're married. Tell us about your family now.
All right. Well, I actually have three children. Mary Claire is 5 and a half, and Annalise is 4 and a half, and Owen is 3 and a half.
Wow.
And they're wonderful. They're fantastic. We have a lot of fun. We play a lot of music. We scream. We actually, about 10 minutes ago, Gutch got finished with a big tickle war. So,
hey, listen, I tease about this a lot. People who, for whatever reason or other, see my words different places on the internet, I talk about babysitting, but if we were nearby, we would be on you awfully quick to say, hey, why don't you two go, you and your wife, go for coffee or a soft drink or something someplace. We'd like to watch the kids for a while.
And we would accept very quickly.
Okay, well, so you've talked about college. Where did you go to college?
I actually went to the University of South Carolina in Columbia.
Okay.
And I got my degree in computer engineering. And whenever I meet people involved in youth ministry, they say, oh, well, that's a likely path that you wind up in youth and music ministry with a computer engineering degree. But the whole while I was earning that degree, I knew that, you know, there was a specific talent with computers, and I always had jobs and internships. But the whole while I was also volunteering at the parish, playing, you know, accompanying the mass. And then I got involved with a life team program my senior year in college. And I said, you know, they want me to come back and be the youth minister, but I just spent these 4 years in college doing this computer engineering thing. I should probably give that the old college try. So I actually went and worked in various computer firms, and each of them lasted about a year and a half. And then I just said, you know what, there's something more. So every time I kept going back and I kept trying to find more ways to fit into the church. And sort of striking, not a balance, because I don't like the word balance, but I think sort of this healthy back and forth, this healthy sort of tension between, you know, the secular world and the sacred world. And actually, I think that carries a lot over into my music, too. But so I did that, and I still do a certain amount of that. I work contract jobs doing software development, web development, those sorts of things. All the while, I'm doing my music ministry and youth ministry and those other things, too. So I've been playing, actually, music for, you know, probably my entire life. My father was, like I said, was a musician. He was actually a drummer in a top 40 band, one of these party bands that plays everywhere, and toured the Southeast for a while before he met my mom. But, you know, I there are pictures of me as a 6 and 7 month old sitting on his drum set playing, and, you know, I remember breaking guitar strings as a toddler, and it was, you know, it's a long journey. I started formally playing piano when I was 7, and then other instruments. I was in the band, and then started playing guitar in high school because that was the cool thing to do. And then just kind of kept adding on, and I'm sort of addicted to learning new instruments and My wife says that we had too many instruments sitting in the closet and these sorts of things. But I love it. It gives me life.
What's your wife's first name?
Cindy.
Cindy. Does Cindy play anything?
Cindy actually also a musician, is less involved in it now than she was. She was very active in the band and then in her choirs and handbells choirs and in her church growing up. Still a fantastic singer, but sort of it's more of much more of a hobby for her than it is, you know, let me pour everything I have into that.
She probably doesn't have any time, but tell her I'd love her to sing a commercial for Catholic Vitamins. We'll put
it on. I'll definitely tell her that. She likes to get embarrassed easily. So,
all right. Well, in some setup email that I sent to you, I told you that music touches my heart, and music can be an accompaniment to a lot of things. I'm getting ready to go to Franciscan University, and there'll be a lot of powerful music there. There's a parish that I used to go to in Colorado where I did regular confessions, and they had music that was appropriate to standing in line as you're preparing your mind and heart for going to confession. So I know how music moves me. I know what touches me, but I don't get a chance to talk to someone like you who's on the other side composing, arranging, and producing an album. So what's it like for you?
Well, I think it's a lot of different things. Lately, my music has been largely selfish. And, you know, I'm a human, so I'm allowed to be a little selfish sometimes, I guess. I'll go to confession about that. But a lot of it is reminders for me. It's reminders about why God loves us, how God loves us, reminders of the gospel. The reminders about prayer, the reminders to me that, you know, I need to pray more, that I need to listen in prayer because I'm an extrovert. And I guess the biggest problem I have is that I don't shut up. I like to talk. And I know God is sometimes just saying, Brian, you just need to listen to what I've got to say to you because it's so important.
Isn't that true for all of us? Huh?
Yeah, I think so. So I guess along that same line, being true for all of us, is I hope that other people find that useful in the things that I write. And I always tell people if they like a song that I've penned, then I was not the writer. I was not the author. It's usually the real goofy ones when I got in the way of the Holy Spirit's penmanship. But I really think that that it's important not only to be a prayer, because a lot of the songs that I write and a lot of the songs that I play are prayers. They're meant to be prayers that call out to God, that thank God. And then a lot of them are songs of catechesis. They're songs that say, you know, Brian, you haven't been real diligent in your prayer life lately. Or, you know, you've just been, you know, walking all over or talking all over where God is trying to speak, and you don't have your eyes open to the things that God is trying to show you in your life and show you that He loves you. So I think it's a lot of different things. And my prayer is that, like I said, all those things become a real part of other people's lives, and they sort of start to see the same truths that I need to be reminded of.
In one of my prep questions that I had prepared to ask you, I was going to ask you, is it prayer put to notes in music? And you've already answered that, so it sounds like the answer is definitely yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is composer, musician, a writer, a blogger, a youth minister, Brian Murdaugh. And you're in South Carolina?
That's right. Irmo, South Carolina. It's just outside Columbia. Nobody ever knows where Irmo is. But.
Yeah, right. And if I look at your bio information and if I look at your website, most everything that you have constructed seems to be oriented towards young people. Is that pretty accurate? Is that your target?
Yeah, that's a reasonably honest statement. I've been doing youth ministry related work for about 10 years now. And now a lot of the work that I'm doing in ministry is traveling around to different places, doing confirmation retreats, leading worship, giving concerts. And it, it's, I guess it's just sort of the market that I fell into. But what I really find usually that where you bring young people in, those people who are really involved in, not even in ministry, but just really involved in parish life and involved in church life in general, they wind up showing up and they wind up being really enthusiastic about the sorts of things that I do, even if they're not, you know, exactly teenagers or young adults.
Sometimes, thankfully, this is not always the case, but sometimes there's a disconnect between older priests and young people or youth ministers in the parish. Let's say most of it may be age-related or orthodoxy-related. How do priests and pastors react to your work?
I've had a lot of direct comments, which really, you know, this is one of those times when I give that answer that if you really like it, then it wasn't me. But I've had a lot of priests tell me that the theology in what I tell the young people, what I sing to young people, is solid. And that's something that I strive for. I am Orthodox. I love the church. I love her teachings. And I want to make sure that I'm in line with that. And a lot of times I think people make sort of generalizations about, oh, those youth ministry movements are all like all over the place and they don't follow any rules and they do whatever they want to the liturgy. And I very much think that when you frame any of the movements that we do, as long as they're prayerful, as long as the Holy Spirit's involved, and as long as we're following the church and the church's teaching, then it can't be anything but good. And I think there are cases of people who have crossed lines, but I really think that as long as we're listening to the church and as long as we're prayerful, then it's good and it's goodness.
Your most recent album has some wonderful songs on it. We played one before.
Thank you.
We played one before bringing you on for this interview, and we'll play another after a little later in the show. Tell us about the album. I sent you a question about the title of the album, 29, and the cover art on it. Can you kind of help us understand that?
Sure. 29 is actually, well, I guess I start with saying that I am in love with the Psalms. I was really excited when the first time you went through the alphabet, P was the Psalms, because I'm addicted to the Psalms. While I was doing music, liturgy accompaniment for a long time, one of the things that I did was write settings of the Psalms that would be the verbatim lectionary settings. And there aren't a lot of contemporary settings of those. So I spent a lot of time writing, writing the music that would suit the audience of, you know, young people, and that would be true to the text. So I actually I've spoken to a lot of priests who have said, man, I don't even want to preach on the Psalm because there's no telling what's going to come out of the choir. So that was something I was very much devoted to. In that, a lot of the text, and it may not be recognizable, but a lot of the text of the music on 29, the last album, come from Psalms. Mm. In particular, there's a song called Glory, which is from Psalm 29, verse 9 says, all in his temple will cry glory. And there's just something that is transcendent, it's inexplicable, about what glory really means and what the glory of God is and how just fantastic and how human words can't express what that is. And there's another line in there that talks about the voice of the Lord stripping the forest bare. Yeah. So that the art that you're talking about has, you know, there's a tree, and there's leaves that are sort of flying off the tree, and they're turning into birds as they fly away into the distance. And that's just sort of, that's an artist's interpretation. I certainly wish I had the talent to have come up with the picture, but I said, I need something with a tree and a bear tree. And that's what he came up with. And I just thought it was beautiful, but that's the inspiration for that track.
We'll close with that song. That is a beautiful song. I love it. You had called my attention to it earlier, so we'll close with that.
Fantastic.
And I also noticed that the dedication on the album is a call to holiness, a call to love the Lord. That's really awesome.
Well, and that's more of that reminder to me, the reminder for me to be holy. And because I'm certainly not. I wake up every morning and I have to make that decision that today I'm going to live for Christ, and I'm going to make that. And that's the message I give to young people all the time, that, you know, some mornings you're going to wake up and you just say, you know what, it's going to be too hard for me today. And you just have to pray, and you have to persist, and you have to be holy, and you have to say, you know what, I'm going to mess up today, Lord, but I still love you, and I still want to want you.
Yeah. You have an earlier album. The title is With Everything I Know, It's a Long Way Home.
Right.
It sounds like something that could have been written out of Houston by somebody who plays in out-of-the-way taverns. And I mean no disrespect. It's just an unusual title.
Sure. That title actually comes, there's a lyric in one of the songs that the lyric is, everything I know because you led me to the truth.
Oh, wow.
It's about providence, and it's about God being there to provide. And then sort of what I did is I twisted that a little bit, and I said, well, there's this subset of things that I know, but I know that there's so much more before I can be with you, Lord. And so that's sort of where that title comes from.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. Gosh, we could just keep going on like this. This is just wonderful. I saw on your website that you had a youth XLT conference on your schedule. Have you done those before? How do you enjoy those?
Yes, I actually love to do the XLT programs, primarily because anything that we can do to get young people in front of the Blessed Sacrament is fantastic. And one of the things that I love to see, and a lot of people just don't believe that it happens, is the reverence that a group of young people will show when Jesus is there in the room, just present for them.
Yeah. I'm sorry for interrupting. I can attest to this myself as a deacon when I've gone to confirmation retreats for young people. And if I see them away from a holy area, they might be, you know, pretty typical young teens. But sometimes when you bring them in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, it profoundly changes them emotionally in lots of ways.
Right. We had our state youth conference actually this year. I led worship for our XLT, and you know, there's about 800 teenagers there in this room, and I like to look for the first time adults, the volunteers or parents who have come, and they go through this period of praise, and then there's a brief talk, and then there's this period of silence when it's just the young people and the Lord. And I look at the faces of some of the people walking out of after this event happens, and they're just like, I can't believe that we got 800 kids to be silent for this, and reverent for this, and prayerful for this. So it really is powerful. And I always, whenever I'm doing confirmation retreats, I try to always say, is there going to be a time when we can maybe do some adoration, because it is so important.
Well, in a couple different ways, you've led us to believe that you've heard our podcast from time to time, and for that we thank you. What else do you listen to, and who are some of your favorite musicians?
Sure. I like to listen to a varied array of music. I think listening to music is sort of an art, too. I do listen to a lot of Catholic music, other Catholic musicians. Love to listen to Matt Maher, and I have a good friend, Joel Stein and Michael James Metty, who I listen to a lot. I like to study worship music as well. I don't typically, since I do a lot of leading worship, and I don't typically just listen to worship music and can sit there and not be analyzing for what do they do here? How can I more effectively lead worship based on what this guy was doing? And that sort of, so it's more of a study tool for me to, worship music, unless I'm actually involved in the playing. But I also listen to a lot of jazz, and I listen to a lot of, sort of eclectic modern music. you know, things like chamber pop, where you've got, you know, they're playing just, you know, standard kind of pop songs, pop melodies, except they're using strange instrumentation, accordions and violins and trumpets and these sorts of things. But I really listen to a lot of music. I listen to everything, about everything except for like rap music. So I really love to listen. I typically will listen to probably 3 or 4 hours of music each day.
Wow. You like to read?
I do. I love to read. My wife has given me sort of a moratorium on book buying lately because my backlog is sort of stacking up. I actually started my MA in theology a few months ago. So my books for pleasure have sort of started to stack up on the back. I love to read the saints. I can't, anytime somebody says, oh, you should read this book. I just got this book called Why Preach by Father Peter John Cameron, which I'm real excited to start, but it kind of comes behind my degree studies. So
we'll have to keep your bride away from mine because my wife says that's enough books for this yep. lifetime.
Right.
Yeah. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins has been Brian Murdaugh. This conversation could go on a lot longer because I'm just enjoying it. You have some holy and powerful things to say. You have some great witness and testimony. And we thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Deacon Tom.
Yeah. We thank you for your witness to God, you know, for other people. And we would ask that you would send us any contact information, anything you'd like us to post. And our blog page will do that so that people can get in touch with you and know the various things that you're available to do.
Okay.
And we thank you, Brian. God bless you, and thanks for our time today.
God bless you, Deacon Tom. Thank you.
Well, our special thanks to Brian Murdaugh for helping us to consider the subject of music, music in our lives, music in our faith walk. I want to say hi to some new Facebook friends, Vicky Burns Wolf, Suroria Maria, Anacleth Hitayezu, Jeff Cooper, and Crystal Barnett Baker. Thank you for those folks finding me on Facebook. And after we finished our interview with Brian Murdaugh, we forgot that we had a major announcement and some great gifting that we're going to do to our friends of Catholic Vitamins. Let's listen again to Brian.
Hey, Deacon Tom, it's Brian Murdaugh. Just kind of let you know that I put about 50 CDs in the mail for friends and listeners of Catholic Vitamins. The CD is actually the same one we talked about during the interview. I hope that they enjoy them, and I hope you enjoy one of them too. Thanks, and God bless.
Well, we've had a lot of people do some wonderful things for Catholic Vitamins and our listeners, but Brian Murdaugh has topped everyone. We'll be picking about 45 or so names from our list of contacts, winners, and friends of Catholic Vitamins, and we'll be sending them a complimentary copy of Brian's latest CD, 29. And so, if you are not a friend of Catholic Vitamin on Facebook, we invite you to go over there and sign up, and we'll be back in just a moment. Thank you so much, Brian Murdaugh.
This is Cheryl Deco, author of Our Jewish Roots, and I'm truly delighted to spend a moment with you today on Catholic Vitamins, offering a Jewish roots connection to the letter M. For M, I've selected the word matriarch. Now, there are 4 matriarchs in our faith history. They are Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. Each woman brings a unique aspect to the role of matriarch, but altogether, they show us what it means to selflessly serve God. In many ways, these women are the precursors to Mary, who in her fiat, in her yes, is the ultimate matriarch. A matriarch really is a woman who has her own gifts and talents, but everything about her is directed towards serving God. John Paul often spoke of feminine genius in the ways in which a woman can know God, that intuitive way in which a woman is uniquely gifted. The matriarchs of our faith, they had that special knowing. These women encourage us today to know Christ in our own ways and to respond to him very personally. A man, because we don't want to leave men out of the picture, really ought to encourage this feminine side of his wife or his mother, his daughter, his sister, so that these women can fully be the matriarchs they are called to be in Christ.
Thank you to our good friend and contributing author,
Cheryl.
Thank you for our mini Jewish Roots segment, a regular feature now on Catholic Vitamins.
I'm liking these.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. Well, you've got a couple new contacts.
Well, you rattled off some new Facebook friends earlier, and I just wanted to say that I also found you have a Plurk follower, Joe.
Oh, hi, Joe. Yeah.
And I've got Sarah Reinhart following me on Twitter.
Okay.
And Verdade Illumina.
Sounds good.
Following you.
All right. Well, I want to reiterate that our closing song is from the wonderful album 29 by Brian Murdaugh. And the song we're going to hear is Glory, one that touches his heart and that he has found a fondness for. I also want to mention that he has so graciously, dear, offered us about 50 CDs. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to use our contacts list and our Friends of Catholic Vitamins, and we're going to do about 45 of those and mail them out, compliments of the show. Why don't we offer a few to the first three people? How's that? First three people that email or call us, 206-350-3789, or email catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And the first three who send us contact and say 29 as the subject, just 29 or 29 CD, we will honor your request and we will send you one of Brian Murdaugh's new CDs. So I think we're getting kind of close. We need to do a little bit of a wrap-up about our next show,
which we're not sure about.
Yeah, we're in Missouri, as we told you earlier in the show. We're going to be back on the road starting tomorrow, a day and a half on the road. And the people that, or the situation that we have lined up for the next vitamin is kind of iffy because that contact is traveling. So this is what happens in the summertime.
Right. So it might be a little difficult to make contact.
Yeah.
So anyhow, because we're on the road and because we're going to end up being in the East where in an area where we may not, well, most likely don't have Wi-Fi connection readily available, it's possible we might end up just having to take an extra week off from the podcast. So if that happens, maybe we'll try to put a note out through Friends of Facebook and on Facebook and Twitter that we're not going to do one, but we'll keep you updated that way.
Sounds like a plan. We'll be in the mountains of Bedford County in Pennsylvania after I finish, God willing, a wonderful retreat at Franciscan University with a bunch of priests and deacons, and one of our speakers is Scott Hahn. Did you remember that?
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be awesome, just awesome.
So when I come and pick you up at the end of the week's retreat, are you going to be like floating on clouds again?
I really love
all
it.
All radiating.
I always love it, for sure, for sure. Thanks be to God. Well, dear, anything else?
No, other than we just had some terrible, terrible weather here in Missouri, and we also drove through some really terrible weather through Tulsa getting here the other day, so I'm ready to get out of the Midwest weather, dicey weather stuff, okay?
Our special thanks to Brian Murdaugh, and our special thanks to Cheryl Decow, and to all of you who listen to us. We pray for you regularly, we give thanks for you, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
There is one voice over the water, the God of glory thunder. and the voice of the Lord is power. It's unceasing, it's unchanging power, and all in his temple will cry, all in his temple will cry, all in his temple will cry. Glory, glory, Lord over all forever, we cry glory. Glory, glory, Lord over all forever, we cry glory. It's a voice of consuming fire, glory rocks the desert. The voice of the Lord strips the forest bare. It's unceasing, it's unchanging power. And all in his temple will cry, all in his temple will cry, all in his temple will cry. Forever we cry glory. Temple will cry, all in his temple will cry.